Thank you for the introduction, and thank you all for being here. It's great to see such a packed room. So I'm presenting on behalf of Colorado Youth Matter, which is formerly COAP, the Colorado Organization on Adolescent Pregnancy, Parenting, and Prevention, and JSI, which is John Snow International in Colorado. And we did this assessment together, and there are some copies of our report in the back, and I'll tell you how to download them later on our website. But the full report is HIV Prevention and Sexuality Education in Colorado Classrooms, a snapshot of policy and practice. And it was released in January of 2010. Nothing to disclose. So in 2007, Colorado passed a law that was content standards for sexual education in schools, House Bill 07-1292, which I'll refer to as House Bill 1292 from now on. And this is an if-then law. So basically it states if schools are going to implement sex ed, it has to be culturally appropriate, medically accurate, age-appropriate, culturally sensitive, has to talk about abstinence and both the benefits and potential side effects of contraception use. So once this law was passed, Colorado Youth Matter started to get a lot of phone calls from schools and school districts throughout the state saying, what does this law actually mean? How does this impact us? How do I know if my school is following this law? Are our programs legal, essentially? So it led us to really wonder what is happening in Colorado schools, how is that law impacting the programs on the ground, and what can we learn more about from this. So Colorado Department of Health and Environment released an RFA to assess unmet needs of HIV prevention through their CHAP program, which is Colorado Health HIV and AIDS Prevention Program. So we applied with JSI to do this assessment. So the purpose of the assessment is to learn the amount of sexuality and HIV prevention education and policies being implemented throughout Colorado and determine if the education and policies meet the standards of House Bill 1292. So as our statewide agency, we had access to a lot of data. We provide a lot of data to organizations throughout the state, so we knew a lot of things going in. Birth rate in Colorado, 18 babies are born to Colorado teens a day, 1.5 an hour. We know that in rural counties also that 81% of the counties with birth rates, the 81% of the counties with higher birth rates are happening in the rural counties. And 35 states mandate HIV education and 20 states mandate sex ed, and Colorado is not one of those. In schools, we know that 73% are teaching HIV education and 70% are teaching sexuality education, and almost 80% are teaching the benefits of abstinence. And then from there on, it goes lower and lower as far as teaching about condoms and how to use them and where to get them. And as far as professional development, which was the third aspect that we looked at, that almost 70% of teachers want professional development on HIV and AIDS and sexuality prevention. However, the majority aren't receiving that. So we went about this in three different ways. We had an online search of policies for the districts in Colorado to see what was actually on the books. We also did a survey that we distributed through our constituents and specifically people in the schools, and then we did key informant interviews. And we analyzed rural versus urban in a variety of different variables. And I want to stress that this is not a formal research study, that we had very little time and money to do this. We had 6 months from getting the RFA to producing the report. So this is really just trying to get a look at what was happening and not a formal research. And I also, when we talk about rural versus urban for the purpose of this study, of this assessment, we're considering urban the 7-county metro area in Colorado and around Denver, and the rest of the state we considered rural. So for the policy search, we had 41 school districts in 34 counties. And just to give you a picture that in Colorado, there's 64 counties and 170 school districts. On the online survey, we had about 141 respondents, and so 97 rural and 44 urban, and then we did 10 guided interviews, and 2 were urban, and the rest were rural. So our findings are divided into policy, content, and delivery. The so findings on policy. We found that the large majority of the schools and school districts that we looked at had policies on record, and that the majority of these were, the majority were for general health ed, family life and sex ed, and HIV and AIDS education. And that most of the that none of the policies really needed to change to be in line with House Bill 1292. What was a really interesting finding was that when we were talking to teachers in school districts throughout the state, they were calling us and they would say, we're not allowed to talk about this, that's against our policy, there's a policy against that, and we found that there was no policy at all that limited the instruction of sexuality or AIDS education at all. And the other important thing that we found was that while there might be some policies about HIV prevention, it's not actually being implemented the way the policy is written. And that's often due to lack of funding, to lack of training, or just general lack of support for the delivery of the programs. We found a lot less policies as far as mental health services and teaching about drugs, alcohol, and tobacco prevention. As far as findings on the content of the programs, that we found the majority of our respondents believe that their programs were in line with House Bill 1292. Almost 90% and 75% said their programs were medically accurate, age-appropriate, and science-based. However, about almost 50% said they did not deliver instruction on the potential and the benefits and potential side effects on condoms, contraceptive, EC, and HPV. And that only 58% said that their programs were culturally sensitive. Therefore, because those conditions are not being met, their programs actually are not in line with the House Bill 1292. So looking a little further at the content, between 45 and 60% of respondents reported they either didn't know or that their school or that it wasn't taught either in middle or high school the following subjects: birth control, and then condoms, access to condoms, how to use them, how to communicate about them. So therefore, although participants perceive their programs to be comprehensive and aligned with 1292, because again, you can see that these conditions and components were not being met, the programs were not in line with the law. So findings on delivery, we found most often that the sexuality HIV education programs were being implemented as part of another class, and most often that was health class. Sometimes it was science, sometimes it was an elective. Majority of the respondents said that their school spends too little time on sex ed and HIV. And we broke it up for the purpose of this assessment into sexuality education, HIV education, just to get a little more information. That's why I keep repeating both. And this was another really interesting fact, that 24% of urban, 41% of rural respondents said that non-English speaking students receive instruction on sex ed, and then when we asked what language they're actually receiving their instruction on, the majority of them are receiving it in English. So findings on professional development, most respondents, almost 80% said they had no idea how often the instructor is receiving professional development. But we did learn that 68% would like to receive more professional development. You can see that often it's less once every 6 years or possibly once a year, but definitely not enough. And there are provisions in these policies for professional development for teachers. So the report contained several recommendations, and again, these recommendations were based on data that we collected from this assessment as well as data that we collected from our research and other work that we do. And we felt it was really important not just to say this is what we learned, but this is what we can do about it. And we do plan on doing a similar assessment like this every other year from now on, just to really keep our pulse on what is happening in the schools and how things are evolving. So, first recommendation is about professional development. So, obviously, the rationale is it's really important that teachers are clear and are educated on the topic that they teach. And as was stated previously, that this is a touchy or sometimes can be an uncomfortable topic, so it's really important that teachers are as comfortable as possible and knowledgeable as possible, and that they receive training on topics related to research and trends in adolescent sexual health, effective programs, and state and local policies. So we provided, because these are large sweeping recommendations, steps to progress for these. So steps to progress would be to identify a state agency to oversee and provide ongoing high quality training and opportunities, and also to ensure cultural sensitivity, though we know that language is not the only aspect of cultural sensitivity. Only 8% of teachers stated that they received training on teaching HIV prevention education to students with limited English proficiency. The second recommendation is to increase access to mental health and health services. So we know that all youth need a safety net of support through family, community, and opportunity and services. We found through this assessment that healthcare and mental health services in schools and communities are minimal, especially in schools, services related to HIV testing, family planning, immunizations, mental health, and substance abuse treatments. And schools can really be that entry point for adolescents to access healthcare services. There is only about 49% of teens who are in need of reproductive health care can access that through family planning clinics in Colorado. So steps towards progress for this would be to increase referrals and collaborations from services. So the third recommendation is identify an appropriate state agency to oversee the implementation of House Bill 1292. Participants in our assessment stated that they're looking to House Bill 1292 to direct them in HIV prevention and sexuality program in schools, but they also stated that they're confused and they're concerned that their school district's not complying with the law, and they look to agencies like the Colorado Department of Ed and the Colorado Department of Health and Environment for guidance and recommendations on curriculum that meet the state law and that meet educational standards. So we recommend that there be an agency to oversee that. And should a state agency recommend, should a state agency recommend curriculum and oversee implementation of House Bill 1292 would not be a mandate for school districts, but just to provide information on what programs they can use. So steps to progress would be to make HIV prevention and sexuality education a priority in Colorado by passing resolutions and legislation in support of effective prevention efforts, increasing funding for effective programs, and raise awareness about the link between sexual health and school achievement, to increase participation in research and evaluation to measure trends in adolescent sexual health indicators, and to increase funding to school districts and to train teachers, provide resources, support for the instruction of HIV prevention and sexuality education in the schools. And then the final recommendation really covers everything that I already talked about, really is to mandate science-based HIV prevention and sexual education in all Colorado schools. Like I said, I stated before that 35 states have HIV laws mandating HIV education, 20 states have laws mandating sex ed, and Colorado is not one of them. So steps towards progress would be to talk often and early, that comprehensive sex education program should begin at an early age, delivering information on anatomy, boundary setting, development, communication skills, decision making, in order to ensure that educational systems should begin delivering information about the benefits of postponing sexual activity and skills needed to protect themselves from STDs and HIV long before youth engage in sexual activity, to ensure cultural sensitivity, to implement mandates, science-based programming in schools, that there's an opt-out process in each school district for parents, that there is a state agency to recommend curriculum and guidelines for HIV prevention, to provide sufficient time for instruction for HIV prevention and sex ed, and to emphasize the correlation of substance abuse and mental health in the instruction of healthy decision and influence on behaviors, and then to include information on the availability of comprehensive services, including services for sexual health, mental health, substance abuse treatment, and prevention. So there are copies of our report in the back, and the full report is available to download. And I don't know what happened to my slides, but our website is coloradoyouthmatter.org. So thank you. Great.